this does not sound like how we would picture a life walking with Jesus. After all, this is the same guy who preaches, when your neighbor strikes you on the cheek, offer him the other cheek. When your neighbor asks for a cloak, give him your tunic also. This is Jesus who says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is Jesus who rebuked his disciples when they quarreled over who was going to be the greatest amongst them. Who's going to be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom? You do not want them fighting and lording it over themselves, their positions, like the nations do, where the non-believers, the pagans, look at positions of authority and take those as, this is for my own glory. Jesus tells us not to live like that. And after all, too, when we read this text and it says that he came to bring division, this does not sound like what the prophet Isaiah said in the scriptures that we always hear right around Christmas time. You'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace came to bring division and not unity. He came to divide and not unite. He's going to put father against son, mother against daughter. I guess the in-law one makes sense, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. I guess that kind of makes a little bit more sense because we see that all the time. I'm just kidding. That's not what we want. That's not what we desire. And yet Jesus came to do this very thing. There's a late English author named C.K. Chesterton. And he wrote in his book, Everlasting Man, he wrote something where he said,
no, I'm not, but I.
A good war is better than a bad peace. Say that again. A good war is better than a bad peace. And that kind of offends our senses because we all understand that peace is preferable to war. In war, that means that people die. Blood is shed. Sons do not go home to their mothers and fathers when war happens. And yet he is claiming that a good war is better than a bad peace. I guess we get that reference when we look at perhaps I think most people can agree the most just war. No one would argue that World War II was a just war, right? Against the Japanese and the Nazis, the actions of the Allies were just. No one is going to argue that, right? What would the alternative have been? It is that same context that we understand what Jesus has come to do. Jesus came to wage war on the kingdom of Satan in this world. And Satan, through his lies, is able to cast on the mindset of all humanity this umbrella of peace, this umbrella of tranquility, that things are all right just the way they are. But then all of a sudden, here comes this Jesus, and he shines a different light, a light that demonstrates that no, not everything is all right in this world, and in fact, things are definitely broken. Now, why doesn't everybody just see this? The problem is that as broken people, the truth is that sometimes we enjoy the things of this world. We have this sinful nature that wants to do things that are not of the will of God. And we enjoy that. And we don't like being told that that's wrong or that's bad. Because we want to see ourselves as, hey, we're good. A lot of us sometimes believe that, hey, you know, humanity is basically good. Everybody means well. But when it comes right down to it, when the chips are down, most of us in a mad scramble, we are going to do what we can to protect us, ourselves, and maybe those closest to us. If a zombie apocalypse broke out, I'm not saying that it will, but just, I know that zombies were a big thing, that, you know, about 5 years ago. If a zombie apocalypse breaks out, the first thing that we're going to want to do is we're going to want to know exactly where our spouse and our children are, our loved ones are. We're going to do what we can to protect them first. Right? That's how humanity is wired. We seek to better ourselves rather than the betterment of our neighbor. And so when Jesus comes in and shows, I want you to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul. And I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And we realize that, hey, when we try to do good, it's really hard. We realize how bad we are. I mentioned that actually in the Bible study today. A quote from C.S. Lewis is, we don't realize how bad we are until we try to do good. And Jesus shines his light on that. And people don't like to hear that. And that is why, in a world that does not know Jesus, there you start to see division. Now, in America, we are in a different position than a lot of other nations. So if I read this text today in Iran, to a bunch of newly converted Christians, and we're worshiping in secret because it's against the law to be Christians, they're going to understand the father against son and the mother against daughter. Because if you convert to the faith of Christianity in an Islamic country, you are going to be cast out of your family. That's a reality as Christ tries to break in. And yes, I am not being politically correct here. I am fully admitting and saying to you that Jesus is superior to Allah because Jesus is true. Jesus is superior to the Prophet Muhammad because he is true and Muhammad told lies. That is something that we have to face. We are not a politically correct group. We need to love our neighbor, and we need to be tactful how we go out into this world. We need to bear in mind that we are not better than anybody else as human beings. We are all the same in God's eyes. But our King does help us live better lives. Another case in point. If I was doing this, if we were in China today, the government could come in and arrest all of us. We could be sentenced to hard labor. I, as the pastor, would probably be put to death if we were doing this in China. Why? Because the Christian worldview has not yet taken over there. They are under the umbrella of the lies of Satan in most of their worldview. In the United States and in Europe, what has been called culturally the West will not every single king or major government leader in the past has truly lived out their Christianity. But overall, Christianity has shaped the culture. And so a lot of people in our culture can live free secular lives and enjoy the world that they live in, and not realizing that their world that they have received is based largely because of how believers in Jesus have shaped the world. They'll kick against the church, believing the lies of Satan, seeing how awful and hateful filled we actually are. That's their belief. They're telling those lies, but they're not realizing that the blessings that we have, many of the freedoms that we enjoy, are because Christ set us free. And the majority of the people in the West began to realize that. And those values, those Christian values that came from the Word of God, have shaped our culture. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Not everybody wants to admit that they are lost. And we are going to see that more and more in our culture. That makes sense. We pray that we're not going to see this division in our families. But we have to realize that if we do have friends who start to hate us because of our Christian faith, they realize that we're Christian, or we see family who fall away from the faith because they love the ways of the world more, we have to understand that we're not doing them any favors in conceding God's truth. But also we have to understand, too, that God still offers us something deeper and more fulfilling. He offers us salvation. He offers us grace and peace and mercy. He is giving us things that the world does not know without Him. Before Jesus, if you are someone's slave and you have the opportunity to gain power for yourself, you would go ahead and you would try to enslave the people who enslaved you. You would seek vengeance, because that is how the world is wired. And yet, it is Jesus and His church who actually made slavery come to an end in the Western world. People are like, well, doesn't the Bible have slavery in it? The texts that mention slavery in the scriptures have led the church and Western societies to abolish slavery. That was the way of the world. That was the way of the devil. We are a broken people. And Jesus came to set a fire on this world. And when we think of fire, we think of sometimes burning and forest fires, especially in California. We think of smoke and it's hard to breathe. We think of the countryside being destroyed. We think of our homes being wrecked. We think of people who are displaced. But when Jesus says He came to bring a fire on this world, He is talking about, I have come to bring the Holy Spirit to do war against the other spirits, the evil ones. I have come to bring faith into this world. And Jesus says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I have great distress until it is over. Now understand, at this point in time in Jesus' ministry, when He says He has a baptism to be baptized with, we're not talking about John in the Jordan River. That already happened. But Jesus is talking about the blood that He is going to be covered with on the cross. That is where Jesus has completely overturned the normal ways of the world. This is where He has overturned the sentence of death that everybody had. This is where he overturns the desire to sin and rail against God. This is where he overturns the despair and the sorrows of our sin when we realize how broken we are. This is where Jesus came and was the Prince of Peace and is the Prince of Peace who brought man peace with God in heaven. So yes, you are going to live in a world where you might feel for a little while longer, man, there's just not as many Christians, and I feel like I'm a complete outsider. What happened to the glorious past when there was more Christians? It used to be that it wasn't a matter of are you going to, it wasn't a matter of are you going to church, but it was what church do you go to in our society? Now it is, man, hey, do you have a church? Are you willing to come with me? And sometimes you just hear a myriad of excuses when you invite someone to come. That might increase for a little while longer. I don't know all of God's plans, but I do know that it is His will to set the captives free. I know that it is His will for all to be saved. But there are some people who just don't want it. And that's why Revelation says, let those who are righteous remain righteous. Let those who are unrighteous remain unrighteous. That is why Joshua, in the Old Testament, when Joshua brought his people into the promised land after Moses had died, he looked at the people of Israel before Joshua retired his duties, and he said to them, look, I know your hearts. You're going to turn away and you're going to sin. You're going to turn to false gods. And he warned them of the folly of that and the trouble that they would bring on themselves. And yet he said, you go and you choose what gods you want to serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Sometimes that is the best that we can do, to shine that light. We persevere in the one who came to save us and set us free. Jesus is our hero. He came to fight a war. He came to save you from sin. He came to save you from yourself. He came to save you from death. And He came to save you from the devil. And He loves you. And He is with you to the very end of this age. And so, remember that as God's people, because of worldviews and the history of the world, really in the scheme of every single person that God has created, those who believe in Jesus, we are the odd ones out. We're different. We're strange. The people listed in Hebrews today, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, Rahab, by faith, all this, all weird, strange, odd ones who believe in our God, who have faith in Him. After all, it's offensive to many religions to say that God became man, much less God died on a cross. And yet that is where we put our hope. Remember the story of the ugly duckling? What happened? The ugly duckling was picked on by all the other little baby ducks. But the duck grew up and became a beautiful swan, prettier than all the other ducks. The world looks at the church and says, you guys are ugly. God looks at you. Is making you into beautiful swans in His kingdom. That is why Jesus came, to bring division. Because He knew that in the midst of Him saving us, we would run into people who are going to hate Jesus for what he came to do. And they're going to hate us for it. And yet, he conquers. Yet, he wins and he reigns. And his word is true. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why do we know this? Because God says so. And when God says something, it comes true. So don't gloat that you are beautiful swans when the world sees that we're really ugly ducklings. Don't gloat over this. Don't lord it over the people of the world. But rejoice. Rejoice that Jesus has your names written in the book of life. You are God's children. Jesus is your friend. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. And he has made you beautiful swans for his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.